Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed to help you find God in an evil world, to help you who have quit church and have left because God isn't there, to help you come to understand the Word of God, the truth of God, and how you can establish a personal relationship with Him. Let me ask you a question. Can anyone tell God what to do? Maybe you've never thought of that. But that's what most people do. They tell God what to do. Or they read a verse in the Bible and they come up with some doctrine without really proving it in the Bible. And they tell God, well, this is your will. Well, it's not His will. Or in the case of Job. Now, the book of Job is a very interesting book. Now, we won't have time to go all through it, but there are certain things in here that we're going to learn that no one can tell God what to do. Now, Job was blameless, and he was upright in his conduct, and yet God let Satan test him to the nth degree. And when you read the book of Job, it may happen to you if you haven't read it before, but I advise you to read it. And it happened to me first time I read it, which is this. I thought God was wrong because Job was righteous. Job did the will of God. But you'll find the truth of the matter is that not only was Job self-righteous, but he thought that his righteousness was greater than God. And he thought that the best thing that could happen in this trial, his three friends couldn't help him. They couldn't understand it. Job complained over and over again, and he was stricken with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And he sat there in dust and ashes for 7 days as his friends looked on speechless. And the flies were all around. He was taking a potsherd and scraping the pus of the boils and carbuncles that he had all over him, and pain and misery and rottenness. Throw ashes to keep the flies away. And he was pining away. Then when he opened his mouth to speak, he said, "Cursed be the day that I was born." Then his friends never gave him any real good advice. And what you will have when you come through the book of Job, you will see this. Every human argument and philosophy about God is found there. Job was so sure that he was right because he did good. He kept the commandments of God, which is fine. He should have. But then he got to thinking that that's my righteousness. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. Question. Where does righteousness come from? It comes from God. Now, if you keep the commandments of God and do what God says, what you ought to, is that your righteousness? Or is that the righteousness of God? Does that put you on a plane that is equal with God? No, it doesn't, because you're still flesh and blood. Let's come to Job, the 9th chapter, and let's see where Job came to. Here's what Job wanted. This was really an argument between Job and God, because he wanted to tell God what to do. And he wanted to accept the things that he obeyed, that God said he should obey, as his own, when it really is because of God. So notice his attitude, accusations toward God. Verse 32, Job 9, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, or that we should come together in court." He was wanting to take God to court. Why did you do this to me, God? Verse 33, there is no umpire between us who might lay his hand on both of us. Let's have this fair and balanced now, God. I'm as good as you are. Well, that didn't get him anywhere. He never really got any answers from his three friends. Then there was another young man who was there, and he began to tell Job what the problems were. Job 31, verse 35. Let's see his complaint. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me and the indictment that my adversary has written. Let's get it down in black and white, God. Would that you would answer me. Well, we'll find out later. God answered him. Because the whole lesson here in the book of Job is this. No one can tell God what to do. And I want you to really understand that and grasp it, because that is a principle that applies to so many things in the Bible. If God is God, which he is, if he is creator, which he is, if he is lawgiver, which he is, if he has given his commandments, which he has, God is the one who does the commanding. God is the one who tells us what to do. We don't go to God and say, God, now I got a real good idea here. I like this little statue that I have, and it represents you. Now, don't you think that'd be really nice? I'll put that in my little worship center here, and I will worship it. But I'm really doing it to you. Now, God, you got to accept this, because I'm doing this from the goodness of my heart. Now, notice, verse 36. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder, and I would bind it like a crown upon my head, that written indictment of what God has done to me and how good I am. I would declare to him the number of my steps. God, look what I did. I did this and this and this and this and this. Oh, aren't I wonderful? Aren't I righteous? Continuing, verse 37, like a prince I would come before him. I am important. Now, what does God say concerning your own way? See? Are not these things that he's saying sin and challenging God? Yes, indeed. God says, let the wicked forsake his way. See, you come to God on his terms, not your terms. No one can tell God what to do. Even if you think you are so righteous, because remember this, who gave you the breath to breathe? Who gave you life? Who has created the world and everything there? Who sends the rain on the just and the unjust? God does. See? You don't come to God like Job did here. No, that will never work. Let's come to Job 32 and verse 1. And these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Let's think about that for a minute. Let's look at all the traditions that men have made and added to the word of God, which God says you shall not add to or take away from. What are they in effect doing? They are saying, God, we want you to accept these. Because we're righteous. We don't want to accept your laws and commandments because we can't stand them. But you must accept ours because out of the goodness of our heart, we have thought these things up. Let's come over here to Job 34 and verse 5. For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has denied me justice. I couldn't even go to court to bring God there and have an umpire or a judge decide between me and him. Doesn't work that way. A lot of people get mad at God because their schemes didn't work out the way that they thought. Their plans didn't work out the way that they desired. You can't go to God and tell him what to do. Then he also said, verse 9, for he has said, it profits a man nothing if he delights himself in God. Now that's how bad Job got. He's saying, look, I did all of these things. What did it profit me? Well, you're covered with boils from head to toe. It's amazing what you will learn about yourself and what's in your heart and mind, right? Yes, indeed. So Elihu said, verse 10, therefore hearken to me, O you men of understanding, be it far from God to commit iniquity, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Oh, you're coming before God. Whenever in the name of God you set out to do something that's not according to the word of God, you're trying to tell God what to do. And we're going to see that's exactly what's wrong with Christianity in this world today. And if anyone does what God says, God will bless you for it, but don't take credit for it and say you're righteous, because that's the righteousness of God, not yours. Let's go on. Chapter 35, verse 1. And Elihu answered and said, do you think this to be right that you say, my righteousness is more than God's? Now, how can that be? Well, there are religious leaders today who say, well, if this little man in this special uniform and crown sits on this chair and speaks ex cathedra, whatever he says, God must do. And even rabbis say of the Talmud, God must accept the Talmud over his word, because even God obeys the rabbi. Amazing statements, isn't it? Maybe you never knew those things. Another man like Jimmy Jones, and you know what happened to his cult? They went down to Guyana, and 400 committed suicide because they were so deluded, because they followed him as if he were God. And where did he lead them? To death. And before they all packed up and left San Francisco, he did one thing which should have caused everyone to sit up and take notice and reject him. He took the Bible, threw it down on the floor, and stood on it and said, I am your God. If God does not strike me dead here on this spot for standing on his Bible, then you will know that I am your God. People said, ooh, look at the end. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. No man can challenge God and get away with it, because God is God and God is sovereign, and no man can tell God what to do. Let's go on. Let's find out what we're going to learn here from this tremendous experience with Job. My righteousness is more than God. Remember where he said, oh, that God would come down and talk to me. Well, Job didn't understand what he was asking for. God did it. Chapter 38 and verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. Who has determined its measurements if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Tell me, Job, If you are more righteous than me, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? And as it is in Isaiah, that God commanded them all the stars in heaven to be and spread them out as a span, just like one opens up a curtain and there's the vastness of the gorgeous, wonderful, awesome universe going on and on and on, way beyond the times of eternity that we can comprehend that God did these things. And God says, all the nations of the earth before me are like a drop in the bucket. Who's going to tell God what to do? You think, oh, well, no one should try that. That's true. But how many do? Nearly everyone. Let's go on and see what God says, because this is going to lead to one of the most fundamental points in modern Christianity today. Let's come here now to Job 40. Job gets an opportunity to answer back. Let's see what he said. Let's see if his attitude was still haughty. Chapter 40, verse 1, and the Lord answered Job and said, shall he who contends with the Almighty instruct him? Are you going to tell God what to do? He who reproves God, let him answer it. Stand up and tell me now. Job, if you are so righteous and your righteousness is more than mine, let's hear it. Notice Job's attitude changed completely. Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand on my mouth. It's about time, Job, as you brag for 30-some-odd chapters of how good you are, and the other men couldn't even answer you. They couldn't even discern that your problem was that you're telling God what to do. So Job continues, verse 5. I have spoken once, I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Yes, put a zipper on your mouth, Job, and your words. God is God, and you're not going to come to him to tell him what to do. You are not going to reprove him for what to do. You are not going to take him to court to get an edict against God because God wasn't fair with you in your own eyes. So God gives him the lesson. Here it is. Verse 6. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up your loins now like a man, and I will demand of you, and you answer me. Will you even annul my judgment? I want you to understand what this says. Can men have the ability to annul the judgments, the laws, the statutes, and the teachings of God? Can they? But men profess that they do. You see, they've never learned the lesson of the book of Job. Think about that for a minute. Will you even annul my judgments? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? But isn't that the problem with modern-day Christianity? God gave the laws as a curse. Did he really? Now, we've already covered that many times. He gave it for our own good because he loves us. Will a man go to God, who is the lawgiver and life giver, and say, Jesus did away with the commandments of God? A lie. We are free now to worship on Sunday. Not true. Will a man tell God what to do? Can anyone tell God what to do? So God says, if you want to play ball that way, give me a demonstration of what you can do. Verse 9. Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Come on, Job. Let's see how really righteous you are. Let's see how really powerful that you are. And you might say in a modern vernacular, Job, stick your finger in your belly button and understand you came from your mother and your father. God would say, I have created you. And you would have the effrontery to come to me and say you're more righteous than me? And that you would annul even my judgments? I want you to think about that in the seriousness of what people have today in the Christianity of this world, which is anti-Christ. Some will say, oh, those are strong words. Where do you get off doing that? Because it's lawlessness. And that's against God's laws. That's against his commandments, okay? Says, all right, now if you're better than me, try this one on. Let's see what you can do with this. Verse 10. Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency and array yourself with glory and beauty. Let's see you turn on the power of your body so you can glow like the sun. Verse 11, cast abroad the rage of your wrath, and behold, everyone who is proud and abase him. Let's see how powerful you are, Job. Let's see what you're really made of. Verse 12, look on everyone who is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in darkness. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Oh. Now, let me recommend that every minister and teacher who has the unmitigated gall and audacity to declare that God has abolished his laws and commandments, and that Christ is now the minister of lawlessness, and that Paul had a different gospel than what Jesus taught. Let's see you take up the challenge of God. Because what you are doing, you are telling God what to do. You're telling him, I'm doing away with this part of the law and commandments that you have. I'm doing away with this part of what the apostles have written. I'm doing away with the gospels. I'm doing away with the law. And God, you must accept it. Because I'm right. Really. Let's see if you can answer like Job. What did Job answer? What was the final conclusion of this? Job 42, Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do all things and that no thought can be withheld from you. You ask, who is he who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I've spoken that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, yea, which I did not know. And he repented in sackcloth and ashes. And God forgave him. So anyone who thinks, I can tell God what to do and he must accept it, you're not going to go any place. You're going to be fighting God, and anyone who fights God is going to be defeated. It won't work. So you think about that. No man can tell God what to do. God is God, not man. I hope this helped you understand some of the things that we're going to cover in the New Testament, which are very important concerning this. So thank you for inviting me into your home, and I hope this helps you to understand more truth of the Bible with Church at Home, where you can control your environment, you can be there, you can download the sermons, you can study your Bible, you can understand the truth of the Bible, and you can begin to develop the kind of relationship with God that he wants. It's not about me. It's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's about you and God and a relationship between you and God. Remember our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of sermons and detailed studies going through every aspect of the Bible. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, So long, everyone.